at the same time. So, I guess we had to leave it after. Amen. But thank you anyway. Maybe that wasn't even for me. Thank you, musicians. Now it's loud. Anyway, are you happy tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what David said. I am happy. I am glad, you know, to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And happy art thou that are here tonight. Amen. So we're going to continue with our subject transition part two. This morning I just gave you the Reader Digest version because I know some people, for whatever reason, I'm not judging, you know, they won't come, but at least they have a good piece of the pie, you know. But tonight you're going to get the rest of the story. So shall we stand and we read the same verse that we read this morning, Romans 8:28. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good. Either we believe that or we don't. And if we do, then it doesn't matter. You know, we can fail, but he cannot fail us. We can make mistakes, but he don't make mistakes. He never changes. I do, but I'm glad that I have an absolute, and that's him. So if I believe this, all things will work, he says, together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this great opportunity to gather together in your name, Father. Father, we want to be fed. We want to teach us the thing that we have to learn tonight. Father, you know the need of every heart, and you know what it's going to take. Father, I don't, but I'm glad that we are trusting in you tonight. To give us what we have need of, to further us into this journey, Father, we thank you. You started this work, and I know you will finish it. You promised that to us, Father, and you cannot lie to me. You said that, Father, that it doesn't matter what happens. I can always trust in you, Father, because you always be there. You will not forsake us or leave us. It doesn't matter if we make a bad choice, a mistake, but you already spoke your word. And you cannot take it back. But thank you, Lord, that we have that assurance in our heart tonight, Father. If it wasn't for that, I don't know where I will be. I will be in chaos because I don't know what's going to happen next and what's going to happen to my life. But I'm glad that I can rest tonight in all your promises and have peace in my heart that everything is well with my soul. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people tonight and those that couldn't be here as well. Father, but we love you and we adore you like we sung the song, Father. And forgive us for any, we have faltered, we have made mistakes, Father. Father, we still want to do your will tonight. It's all these are. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So, transitions. I wrote here is the process or a period of changing from one state to another state. Amen. Young people, they change from being, you know, teenagers, adolescents, they change to be what? Adult. And that's a funny thing. Once you change, you make a transition, you cannot go back. Now, they want to act that way, that's fine. Some, you know, all people want to act like children, that's fine, but you can never go back. Once the transition is made, you move forward. That's the only place to go. So, it's a process, it's a period of changing from one state to another, or condition to another. See? And I told you this morning what triggers transition is a problem. Right. See, God has to make you. God has to make me. Because if it wasn't for that, I will sit just relax and all peachy and leave me alone, don't rock my boat. But God has to make us. See? So he created this problem, these circumstances, these situations, so we can start moving forward. Right. Amen. And I'm glad he do that. He brings all this problem. He brings everything. He had to bring even your own brother, but it's not your brother. It's just the spirit that comes in just to get us, you know, moving, shake us a little bit, you know, get all that old dust out of us and move forward where we're supposed to. So that is the process of changing. So this process first, I told you this morning, there is an ending. Let's see what I do. It's an ending, then a beginning. There's an ending, there's a beginning, but the important thing is that in the middle, there's an emptiness. See? That's the part where all hell break loose. See, Jesus went through that. He had to make a transition from his ministry to the cross. And that night he got down and he prayed. He just battled with himself, with this flesh. He needed to bring that flesh to submission. He needed to end his ministry and move to what actually he came. That was the victory. But he was a human being just like you and I. So he's sitting there. He said, Lord, if there's another way, and you and I do the same thing. We like to bargain with God, you know. Lord, you know. But you know what? Let your will be done. Once he made that decision to let everything go, then he could move forward, see, to a new beginning, see, to his victory. Ah, it wasn't easy. I'm not telling you that it's easy. It was a lot of pain and suffering. But you know what? We got to make a choice. Amen. The only way we're going to learn obedience is through suffering. I didn't make this. This is his plan. And I cannot change it. I have to go through the same thing also. So that's how we learn obedience. With the thing that we suffer. And how we act or respond to all this situation is going to determine how long this is going to last. But as long as we make our mind, you know, Lord, thy will be done. You know, Lord, you know, go ahead and make all the excuses. Tell him, you know, I feel this way, I feel that way, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. But nevertheless, Lord, I need some help. And then there's a man here that can turn the lights on, you know, get you out of that darkness. But you know, we don't need to be scared because he never forsakes us. So we have a beginning and an end. And an emptiness or hollow time in between. See, that's the time of decisions. Somebody just falling in the valley of decision, just like Hob was, you know. He was in a mountain one day, and the next day he's down in the valley making decisions. Amen. So, to continue, we'd like to use Ruth. I talked about Ruth this morning, Naomi, and Orpha. I wanted to use that to this content to continue my context. I wanted to use this example so we can see what we can glean some more nuggets out of the Bible. So let's go to Ruth chapter 1 and we read 1 through maybe, let's see, 7 or 8. Let's see. So, okay. He says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. That's very interesting. We have a famine in the land today for the hearing of the word of God. We have enough word, just some people cannot hear the word. See? It says, and a certain man, Bethel, woman, whatever, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. So, okay, hey, you know what is the saddest thing is? That we have a famine for the word of God, to the hearing of the word of God. You know, this is not the time to try to find a sojourn and go and see if we can find a true word. We have the true word. There's no time to be going around seeking for what? For more? Or, you know, I don't know why people leave places like this. To go another place to do what? Do you think it's going to be better? You know, I'm going to tell you right now, the pasture is not greener in that other side. Right. See? Because you're taking yourself that way. And Brother Brown said, when you get there, you know, that place is not perfect any longer. So, I don't know why people, instead of figuring out what's going on, pray and ask God, let his presence come and guide them and lead them through the Holy Ghost. But running is not the right thing to do. We're going to see what happened in this case. It says, and a certain man, it says, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, whatever, Ephra, whatever, también, and all that. I don't know. I'm going to have to look the Spanish. It's probably better. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Well, that's a result of a change, a choice. Actually, it was a choice. Because she knew, or he knew, that he was going to die, that would never go on. See, you don't know. You think you know. And I don't care how much you think you know, you're still wrong. That's what Brother Brown said. When you think you have it all figured out, you're still wrong. I mean, if I was him and I knew this was happening, I would not go. But see, God do not reveal anything to anybody, not everything. And they took, let's see. And the husband died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wife of the woman from Moab. The name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other one was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Wow, that's a long time. And then Mahlon and Chilion, whatever, died also, both of them. Oh, my goodness, it's getting worse. Yeah. She probably figured, you know, oh, at least I got two daughters-in-law. I'm going to have grandchildren. See, we start making this nice dream. You know, and I'm going to have grandchildren running along. Then I'll be happy again. At least I'm not left alone. Well, hold on. You spoke too soon. See, we like to make these dreams. But if I live here, then we start making, we imagine, oh, this is how it's going to be when I get there. Wrong. I mean, I'm your brother. Just stop. What can you imagine? I mean, my imagination is bad anyway. Who wants it? My mind is no good. What can I produce that get close to perfection? I'm an imperfect man. How can I just do, you know, figure these things? We can plan all we want to. So he says, was left her two sons and her husband. Then she rose with her daughters-in-law. Okay, see, something is ending. You know, problems, huh? Here comes a transition now. See, now she has to look back and say, and go through memory lane, and okay, you know, go through all that emptiness now, just her. And she starts saying with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard that in the country of, well, you see, she lives one side, one church, and then things don't go right. But she wants to go back. But she just stay and work things out. Would it be better? We didn't love the husband and wife and whatever. But see, but we don't know. We do not know what is in that around that corner there. We don't even know. And God made it that way because God wants us to trust him. Amen. Completely trust him 100%. He says, she had heard that in the country that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. You know, the bread of life, you know. So they leave and suddenly there is a move in the church that they just left. God is working. Well, I guess they left. That's what God started working on. No. No, sometimes, you know, people with their own idea, they start the movement of the Lord. And God has to kind of... you know, send winds of doctrine. Right. You know, so what? To clean up the church. Right. And those that are going to follow, but those that are going to stay, so we're having a revival. Right. So now they say, whoa, what happened? Well, that you left. Right. But I want to come back. Okay. You know, it's just like anything else. The Bible says, you know, restore, you know, a brother that had fallen. You know, don't kick him when he's down. If he comes and he asks forgiveness and he repents and he's so broken, hey, restore him fully and don't even mention it again. like he never done it. That's what God do to us. He forgive us like he never we done it. She justify us. So he says, where she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Okay, so we decided already. That's the decision. We done. We're going back. But see, that was the problem. It starts again. Every transition is going to get to that point. Because humanly speaking, we had to make a choice. We got to make a decision. God gave us choices. He's not going to make the choice for you. He will guide you, find you, as soon as you humble yourself and you come with a contrite spirit and broken, he will help. You know, but when we are proud and we are, you know, I think I know, it wasn't my fault, you know, God can do nothing. Therefore, it says they went out to the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went out and they were to return. So, in order to return, they had to leave something. You know, they had to end something. And Naomi said unto her, to the daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. I might be wrong here. But I think Naomi gave me the impression that she didn't want to take him. And the one she want them to make the choice so she won't feel bad, you know. If you guys want to leave, you know, go ahead. That's what the impression I get. See, Orpah and Naomi, I mean Naomi, didn't want to take Ruth back to the promised land. Because to begin with, if they would have went there, people are going to start talking. See? Those are the living proof that their two sons, two daughters, that according to the covenant, you know, of the nation, they shouldn't have done that. I mean, they shouldn't even left. You know, once you leave the promised land, you know, you cannot be blessed anymore. You can only be blessed in the promised land. So they already made a choice. And now she said, well, you guys, you know, were you going to stay? Go back to your mother's house. See, because the less they see, the less I had to explain. Instead of being truthful about it, now we kind of, you know, being a disobedient, hiding it. Because it was a fall anyway. So she said, they were living proof that she and her husband had permitted their son to marry, you know, strangers. So, I can imagine, you know. In another word, Naomi was trying to cover up her disobedience. She didn't mention anything like, oh, I was wrong, we were wrong. You know, daughters. No, she's trying to cover it up. You know, make it look like, okay, you know, everything is peachy. You guys go back and I go back and we avoid all the questioning, all the criticism. But no, it didn't happen that way. We're going to see. So, in Ruth 1:13, chapter 1, verse 13, said, would you tarry for them till they were grown? See, I don't have any more, you know, children for you can marry, so we can restore the name and the line, you know. And so, why don't you stay for them? And would you stay for them from having a husband? Nay, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sake, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Wow. Instead of just telling the truth, now he's blaming God. Who left? God didn't leave. She left. Her husband. But now she's saying, you know, it's your fault. See? All these things that happens to me, it is your fault. So she's not being, you know, actually sincere with herself and with anybody. I know it's harder for Naomi. Naomi was older. I read she was 90 years old. There is no way she's going to get remarried and have children. I mean, it was a better chance for the other two to get married, you know, and have children. I understand that. And they can, but Naomi, see, being the way she was kind of bitter. And that's what the name Naomi means, bitter. Because she says she's bitterly regarded her situation as a judgment from God. Yeah, this is, don't leave this out there. That's what we do. That's what we do when we start, you know, kind of not making choices or right choices. Listen, it doesn't matter if you make a wrong choice. It doesn't matter if you make any mistakes. We are going to make mistakes. The thing is, own your mistakes. The thing is, be responsible. Be accountable. She's not being accountable for her mistake. She's blaming God. He says, God, she says, the hand of the Lord has gone against me. So now she's saying, well, it's not my fault. What did God take my husband? What did God take my children? What I have done, you know? And that's what we do also. She's a human being just like you and I. So she says, and I know that Naomi was bitter rather than being broken, see? She wants to blame everybody. We do that. We get in a situation. Oh, God. Oh, God, what are you doing? What are they doing to me? You know. But instead of stop pointing fingers, why don't you look at yourself first? Because it takes two to tango. It takes two to dance. You know. Brother Brown says, you know, when your brother does something to, well, the sample that he put was, you know, if I know that this man or this brother did something to me, I know he did something to me, that he lied. He says something that was not, that is false, and I know it was. You know, he says, you take him to the, you know, throne of grace, shoulder by shoulder, and get to pray with, and you will see that after a while, you cannot accuse that man, not in front of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we would be doing the same thing. We'll be out there. See, but he said, you pray, and you take him to the throne of grace, shoulder by shoulder. And he says, and then you start seeing, God starts showing you what that man is going through, what he's been through. And then you start noticing that you have something to do with his situation. How big and how small, I don't know. He says that you have a part. So we don't need to point fingers. I know she's, you know, she's being human. And she's blaming everybody. But our part is to take our brother and sister in prayer to help. See? We don't supposed to just kind of, I'm going to stay away from her because, or him, because, you know, this happened and that happened. Brother Branham says the following, the Kinsman Redeeming. Naomi wondered. See? That is your middle. You're wondering how this is going to turn out. Well, if I do this, then we start going, you know, this, and we're going through all the scenarios and all the options, you know. And we are wondering, because our minds are wondering. See? We want to be in control, and it's impossible, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't have no notion of what, you know, how this is going to end. So she said, why has the hand of the Lord been so cruel to me? That's what Brother says. Wow. Oh. Man, it's not my fault, brother dog. You know, why have you been so mean to me? You know, it's not mean to me, you know. But that we would like to blame people for our problems and our fault. She has still don't want to acknowledge what she done. Says, why has the hand of the Lord has been so cruel to me? My daughter-in-law, God has cast me. Wow, God did not push. I didn't see in the Bible that God took him and dragged him out and said, get out of my land. There wasn't force. Why she's talking against me? What is this, the pastor? What is all that? They want me to leave. They're pushing me out. Nobody's pushing you out. Nobody's doing anything. It's all in your mind. It is all a figment of your imagination. But we have to blame somebody for our situations. He says, God has cast me out. I am an outcast. Well, you chose to be an outcast. I didn't know what I ever done. What do I do to deserve this? What I have done to deserve this? Sounds like some people I know. I used to do that too. You know, wow. I just came to church. I just sat there. I'm minding my own business. I don't know what happened. Somebody threw a rock and I got hit. You know, I'm a victim. You know, I'm being victimized. I just got caught up in this. Oh my, we make all kind of excuses. Why? Because we don't want to look inside. We prefer to look at them and blame the whole thing, and even God. And Brother Branham says, I don't know what I ever done. She knew what they done. Unless she has Alzheimer's disease or dementia. 10 years just happened, 10 years. Hey, she know what they done. But she's trying to rehearse this in front of their daughters, you know. Like, you guys need to go, you know. I don't know what happened. God has done this. I mean, this God that she's been preaching to Naomi and all for now is, you know, you better go back to your land. It's a mean God anyway. You don't want to go through this. You know, God is not a God of destruction. God is not a God of making us suffer for just to make us suffer. Sometimes it's our own fault that we fall in these things. God wants to help us. God wants to heal us. God wants the best that he can give to us. You know? All we have to do is just forgive me and run to him. Ophrah was kind of trying to get away from in her own mind. She's trying to dismiss the whole thing in front, rehearsing in front of the, you know, so girls, you know how, this is my God. Do you sure you want to come with me? See what he done to me. Wink, wink. Why don't you go home? You'll be better off with mom and dad. They sure love you and take care of you. But that's my impression. But why is she going through all this? She's really, Naomi, her situation. Actually, her situation was in her life was a result of her decision. She's not admitting it. She's not. You know, when people want to live in that kind of denial, you know, they come to share these problems and they just, no, no, it's not me. No, no, it has to be somebody else. No, I'm too good, you know. So, it was the result of their decision. She and her husband and her son, they made it, you see, when they went and left and chose to leave the promised land. And in church, it's the same thing. You know, I'm not saying don't leave the church, you're going to get in trouble. I'm not saying that. But the promised land is the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is the one that's supposed to be in charge and in control, and we're doing what we want, what are you leaving? The promised land. You leave the one that wants to guide you and lead you and teach you and do all these things for you and make you and mold you. So once you leave that, because you want to take another thought, not his thought. And this spirit comes in church, and so you can take another thought, so you can, and then you get in that box, and then you get in all these things, and you try to make a logic or the reason of this whole situation, you know. But you are the good guy, see? I am a victim. I've been a victim of LDF. So Naomi, she's not being truthful, you know. She know what's going on. But although she was that way, she's going to have a good ending. But she didn't know that. She do not, and you and me do not realize what is going to be the result of what we're going through. See, even though she's doing all that, see, God will not forsake you. God knows, he gave you a promise, so it doesn't matter what you do. And I know you love God, you're not going to do something grossly. But nevertheless, even in that situation that Naomi was and saying all these things and blaming God and everybody else, you know, she did not realize, and you don't realize, and I don't realize, in those situations, you know, that God is going to bless you anyway. It has nothing to do with what you do. It's what he do, what he promised. But sometimes we need to help God, you know. So, and then Brother Brown says, he says, God was working his program. When you find yourself in that situation, God is working, not yours. Just take your program and trash it out. You know, he's working his program. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if I don't see the end of this. It doesn't matter if this is getting worse. It doesn't matter if it's getting dark. It doesn't matter what's going on. He's working his program in your life and in my life. That's all you need to know. It says God was working his program. Now, because, here we go, all things work together for the good to them that love God. No matter what it is. Bring me the worst problem you have. It doesn't matter what it is. So the sooner we realize what's going on, the sooner we can settle down. The sooner we can stop panicking about everything. The sooner we start running around. The sooner we start finding, probably in misery and in agony. You know, avoid all that stuff. Just be still and know that he is God. Oh, no, I, of course, I don't like the situation. I'm not being insensitive. But God has a purpose. And that is what I'm looking at. He says, see, Naomi, she did not realize that God would yet graciously bless her for her descendants through Boaz. See, it's going to give her what she needed anyway. She forgot about all that stuff. She's not there yet, thinking about when I get back, I know I cannot get married, so now what's going to happen to the land, what's going to happen to the name, blah, 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 blah. She's not even thinking about promises or anything. Nevertheless, God is going to fulfill his plan in your life and in my life. He started the work, and he knows exactly what he needs to do. And he give you no rope so we can hang ourselves and, okay, let's return. When you get done boo-hooing and crying and complaining, and you get done and you throw your hands and say, I'm done, I need help. I cannot do this by myself. I don't know what happened, but I know what I did. So help me, Lord, to make amends, to just cut up this thing, end it. I want to move forward. He said, Boaz will give her. We restore her name and through Ruth, see, not only the Ruth that husband, but also Naomi, that's husband. In Galatians 3:0-2, it says, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, still talking about we want to blame everybody else for our problems, Rachel envied. You know, that pastor don't check my hand. He don't look at me. I feel bad, you know. He might like Henry more. He mentioned Henry all the time. He didn't even look at me. Satan likes to put a lot of junk in. And then start working on that. She didn't look at me. She passed me. And I seen her. She was right there in front of me. And she went like this and went out. She ignored me. But you don't know what's going in that sister or man's head. Maybe he had a problem that morning. He just so engrossed in that he just don't see nothing else in front of him. Maybe you need to stop and, oh, I'm sorry, brother. You know, shake him out of that. That is called laying the, hands suddenly on somebody. That's what the Bible said, to lay hands on the, no. You know, oh, bring you back to reality, brother. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. And he said unto Jacob, give me children. Oh, God. We must like to pull that one. Not the only one. Oh, I'm going to die. Man, she's getting very dramatic, isn't it? I mean, Jacob, give me children. Like, you know, Jacob is the creator. He can do whatever. Poof, okay? How many you want? 10? A dozen? That's what Jacob says. He says, and Jacob got angry. Was kindled again, Rachel. And he said, Am I in God's stead who had withheld from thee the fruit of your womb? What are you blaming me? You have a problem? Take it to him. What do you think? What do you want me to do? You're going through a situation? Don't blame me. What can I do? You want me to play God? Even if I could, I cannot do it. You know, you have a problem? Just go direct. You have a line direct to him and phone. Why would you want to mess with me? What do I know? I'm just in the same mess you are. I'm trying to survive. And we try to survive. You know, we don't need somebody dragging, you know, you back. You know, we need to help each other. If there's a problem, just, you know, talk to my boss. That's what I told my wife one time. She was telling me something that I wasn't do or I did or I did. And I don't know what happened. And I said, if you don't like it, talk to my boss. Yeah, that fixes everything. That was the end of the conversation. You know, don't blame me, you know. You don't like what I'm doing or you don't like the way I'm doing it, talk to my boss. I don't work for you anyway. I work for him. He says, and Jacob, so he says, and then in Genesis 42:36, and Jacob, their father, this is Jacob now, father, said unto them, me have a, I don't even know that word, bear, what, how you pronounce that? Okay. Of my children's, I guess it means, you know, taken all. And Joseph is not. See, Joseph was the one that was sold. So he said, Joseph is not. And Simeon was out there, they kept him because he said, bring us Benjamin, so somebody got to stay. So now I don't have Joseph, now I don't have Simeon, and you want to take Benjamin away. And here's what he says, all these things are against me. Oh man, this church is working. They was working against me. Why? Look at what they've done. That wasn't nobody but the hands of God, because God had a plan. You and I know the plan for Joseph now that we read the Bible and we heard so much. The prophet didn't know. God did not reveal that to him, because if he would have messed it up. That's what you don't know. You would mess it up. You stick your fingers on it trying to improve it or trying to change it. That's what God don't tell you. If you know you're going to, God tells you you're going to die tomorrow in a car accident, when you get in that car, you have a ball on nerve. When? You could probably kill yourself anyway. You don't need to fulfill any prophecy. With that kind of a thing, you probably just run somebody or run yourself out. You're just a ball on nerve. You know? That's what God don't tell us things. And the prophet didn't know. Why? Because God has a program. God has a plan, and he don't need his help, your help or my help. Leave things alone. God knows what he's doing. God never changes. You and I do, but he's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's our absolute. And if he said it, it is done. But he didn't confine on them. This is my plan. Wait a minute. You know, God don't have to tell us anything. I mean, I'm glad that he called me, and I'm glad that he loved me, and I'm loved the grace and mercy. But I don't have to ask God, okay, what is the next move here, boss? I want to know, because, you know, I'm going to go in there. You know, Naomi going to go back to the land. I need to know, you know, what is going to come against me, or what will be the situation? What will be the result of this move? And then you don't hear from God. Brother Branham, one time he went to Africa, and God told him exactly what to do. You know? So he got out there, and the committee, you know, all those evangelistic guys got together. They already did the marketing. They already set up the meetings. They already got the hotels. You know how it is. Where you're going to eat, where you sleep, where you preach, what you preach, when you preach, and how. And he tells them, you know, stop right there. That's not what God told me to do. But, you know, Brother Branham was the type of person like me. I don't like conflict. I was born the same day, 40 years later in April. You know, he was born in April 6. I'm April 3. So I know how it is. We don't like conflict. We will avoid conflict until you get pushed to a corner and you have to come out fighting. And they already did all this. And Brother Brown didn't want to, you know, create any more problem than what is already foreseen, you know, these guys. So he says, okay. And Billy Paul said, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. But choices, see, here come the choices. And he says, okay, let's do it, but we're going to pay for it. I don't know what happened to that bunch of preachers that did that, but I know Brother Branham for 8 months. He was sick. And God stopped talking to him for 8 months. God will talk to him every day, visions and everything, apparition, and suddenly, 8 months, I will go crazy. Can you imagine being married to a wife of 40 years and she won't talk to you for a year? But that could be a blessing. No. No. You know. Okay, that's a bad example. Okay. I shouldn't even say that. Anyway. And he said, all these things are against me. So things start happening. We start making choices. Things don't go the way we wanted to go. We had this plan. We had it all figured out. And suddenly, we found ourselves, you know, left in the dark. And now we want to blame everybody for it. Let's see what I got here. No, if I don't hear from my wife, I'll be calling her. I miss you, honey. John 9:1-3 says, and Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and he and his disciple asked him, saying, hey, master, who did sin, this man or his parent? I read you that, I told you about this morning, about this one. And that he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither that is this man sin, nor his parent, but that the work of God should be made manifest in you. We go through all this thing because God is working his character. God is working that attribute that is in you. God wants to see himself in you. That's all the thing that we go through. Like the goal, it has to be hid until all the straw and all the stuff that don't belong. But we have to go through these things, to situations and problems. But God is working. God is working himself in you. He wants to see the reflection. I don't know how long we got, but, you know, if we live long enough, we probably, I don't know how close I am. I know I'm closer than I was, but I don't know how many other situations I'm going to have to go through. But until he can see himself in me, the beating will not stop. No. You were going to have to go the beating because you have to beat the goal. And complaining is not going to help you. It's not going to help anybody. I'm going to show you what happens after the decision is made. It's kind of human, huh? This is not natural for Tucson. And Brother Brown says in Revelation chapter 5:1, he says, there are three stages of Ruth. Let's go back to Ruth now. See, we finished with Naomi anyway. Poor girl. There's three stages of Ruth. Ruth deciding. She was deciding whatever she would make the decision or not. See, and that's what we get, you know, stuck. You know, we know what we need to do. See, but we get in situation and we need to make a decision. You know, and the decision we're looking is to deal, to cope with the ending of the, we need to close this thing. Whatever started the problem, it doesn't matter who started it, where it came from. We know where it came from, and we don't care where it went. And we want to know is, what can I do so we can mend this situation, so we can move forward? And we need to make a decision. See, we cannot continue, you know, going around and around the situation and making excuses, and things get worse, and now we get more people involved, things get worse. You know, just like Naomi. Oh, my God, you know. What are you doing to me? I don't deserve this. I just was just standing there and I don't know what happened. I was a victim of the circumstances. It wasn't my fault. Well, so make a decision. She was deciding whether she would make a decision or not to go back into the homeland. Brother Van said, just like the church. See? And then the second thing after she makes a decision is Ruth is serving. When she went out to glean. And then the last stage is Ruth resting. See, that was Ruth is doing now, the church. Now Ruth rewarded. Now that's where the next thing happens is the reward of the church. See? You know, there's no rest. In the conflict, in that middle, there's no rest. We want to be at rest. In fact, everything in the universe wants to be at rest. I mean, if something comes out of the place, a planet, forget it, it's chaos. The universe and your life, they are all balanced in such a way that we don't even understand it. But we like to be balanced. We like to be stable. We don't like, you know, somebody shaking our butt. We don't like somebody, you know, shaking ourselves. We like to be nicely and good and, you know, no problems. Well, dream on. Because problem is what causes all these things anyway. So it says Ruth, she was deciding. So she needed to make a decision. And the decision is, I need to end this before I can move to that. I need to end before I can start. See? And something, that's what happened in church. We got this situation that it needs to be completely finished, terminated, done, finish, see, terminado in Spanish anyway. Because if it not, we just continue going around and around and around until somebody get mad enough to leave and get out of the fight and another will get in and it will never end. We need to come together and decide this is enough. Let's get together, let's pray and let's see how we can find a solution. You cannot make a solution or try to figure out what the new thing is. Jacob didn't know what the new thing was. And you don't know what the next step is in your life. God knows the plan. So there's no way to sit down to figure out what's going on. See, what we need to do is unsolve. Not solving the new thing, it's unsolve the old thing. And find peace and find rest and wait for the Lord to do the rest. So Ruth decided, you know, that she was going to go. Once she made her mind, that's all God needs. See, God give you choices. Just like when he saved us. You know, are you going to leave the world and follow me? You know, he told the rich ruler, hey, what do I have to do to have eternal life? Oh, easy. Just leave it all. Cut it off. Finish. End it, make your mind, move forward. Amen. But he got sad. It was too many things pulling, you know, that he could not leave. That's a sad story. And sometimes we let little things, you know, we get entangled or bogged down in things that want to pull us, that really in the scheme of God's redemption plan, that's just a speck. You gonna let that little thing hold you back? That's what Brother Doug says. If you have a problem and you don't, and you can quit at any time, and you know it's not something that you know is taking you down, but you know I can leave it whenever I get ready. But when don't you leave it now? I mean, if it's not that important, why you want to hang on that? The decision has to be made in order to go forward. See, she wanted to get back into the homeland. Now, that we talked this morning about making decisions. And now, Ruth serving. I want to get in here. When she went out to glean. See, what is the next step after? Everything is settled. Everything is pitchy again. You start what? Serving. You cannot serve. In those conditions, you can try as much as you want to praise the Lord. You can try as much as you want to serve. But it's just not there for some reason. Something is just kind of, you know, cramping your style. You know, Satan comes and kind of, but you know, those people don't really like you that much. Well, you know, the only reason they're there because they want your money or something. I made that up. And we don't want nobody money anyway. You know, whatever reason. I just might as well go someplace else where somebody can really care about me. But you know, there's one person that cares about you, and the only one that you want to care about is Jesus. Oh, I know, you know, things happen. But you cannot just, we can fail you. We can fail anybody. But he will never fail you. So Ruth then went out to glean. And I want to say something here. And this is me. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to agree with me. I believe that God has a place for everyone to glean. God has a place where he spread all his table so you can come and dine. Boaz told her, stay there. Minister, watch her and leave some food in there, some word here and there, so she can, you know, have. Boaz didn't come one day to the field and Ruth was missing. And where's Ruth? Oh, I don't know. She decided to go to another field. I guess she's gleaning over there. You know, I mean, and I'm going to say it, Wednesday, Sunday, Sunday night, if you're in town and it's normal day, you have, this is where you glean. Right. Oh no, but I can go to Phoenix, or I can go there, or I can go. Yes, you can go. But the place that you have decided, and the pastor that you have decided is going to be, the decision you made that this is your church and this is where you need to be and this is where God is going to fit you through the ministry. You like it or not. Now, you can go to another church and have a good time. But that's all it is, a good time. Because God knows what you have need of as a body, as a church. When we make a decision that this is my church, that this is my pastor, this is the, my church, hey, you glean here. Right. You don't have to agree with me. Amen. And that is fine. See? And then Boaz, you know, he was the redeemer. He was the type of Christ, the symbol of Christ. And Christ is here. And Christ is there. You know, sometimes I used to listen to some other tape from some other pastors. But you know what? They were nice. I liked them. But you know, that was for their church. I don't know what God is doing with them. But see, I belong here, and I'm supposed to be here. This is my post of duty in those days. And this is the way I'm gleaning. I will not go hungry. Why? Because God will feed me. I just need to be faithful. I just need to be in the right place at the right time, in the position and the place that he put me. So we come and say, oh, I want to be in this church and you want to be my pastor? Yes. And I want to come here. Then a few, you know, weeks, years, what happened? You know, you don't see it. Where are they? You know, can you imagine? Boaz, where's Ruth? I don't know, she's cleaning someplace else. And then when she got there, she didn't get as much as she wanted to get anyway. She got hungry, so she had to come back anyway, you know. I believe that. I mean, that's the way I believe it. God put me in this church, and God put me here for a reason. And if he put me here, then he is the one that has to feed me. The only thing I have to do is open my mouth. Amen. Glory. You know, fill my cup, Lord. You can have a good time someplace else, but that is my way. So she decided, see? And her choice was to follow. That showed her devotion. Yeah, you know. That's how much she cared about Ruth. That's how much she cared what Ruth had done for her life. That's how much she cared for the church, for the people, for the body. Her devotion, you know. She said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I want to be where you go. That's what I want to be. And the reason I'm here, I told you this morning on Wednesdays and Sundays, is because you. I need you. See? That's all. See? And she says, Ruth, that was her devotion. And also, the manner that she did it expresses her faithfulness and love for what she's doing. You know, sometimes I wonder about the passion. How much passion do we have for the Lord and the work of the Lord? That should be just enough to make you, I mean, you fall in love with God. And, you know, it's a part of God in you that wants to come to church. But God, I cannot take you. Not today, please. Give me a break. I need a vacation. That's all right. We need vacations. But the thing is, if you are in town and you're not sick and no emergency, this is where you glean. Why? Because this is where God brought you. In your own mouth said, I want to have this my church, and I want you to be my pastor. Nobody make you. So what changes? You, because God hasn't changed. So she was, after deciding, then she started serving. And that is what we need to do. After we make a decision, then we go on and serve. See? That is the next step. It doesn't matter what the situation, it doesn't matter if it's up and down and it's dark and things not going my way, I will come and serve anyway. Amen. Why? Because God is going to continue feeding me. Yes. And I need to be fed. Just like I eat every day, you know, so I can stay healthy and strong and grow bigger and older and uglier, whatever it is. I need also spiritually, I need to eat every day. Amen. See? I know I can read my Bible. I know I can listen to tapes. But, you know, I want to come to glean. And let the minister throw some stuff there that I can, you know, chew on him the whole week until next Wednesday again. You know? Man, this stuff is so good. You know? Man, I wonder if I can get a little bit more of that. So, and you know what? The probability that if now Ruth go to another place to glean, you know, a woman like that was a stranger, a Moabite, nobody's going to welcome her. You know, I had gone to churches, and I'm not saying this as a criticism, my judgment, but I had gone to churches that I don't feel comfortable. Why? Because I feel comfortable here. Because I know you, you know me. We've been together for a long time. Just like my grandchildren. When they go home and stay with me, you know, we have a slumber party, you know, we have candies and coffee and cokes and sugars, and they climb in the walls and until they drop, and they're done, I take them to bed. No, I don't do that. If they're hearing me, I don't do that. Anyway, so every time Christian hears a noise or Elliot hears a noise in the house that they are not familiar with it, they're familiar with all the noises in the house. So they don't question them anymore. But when they come, what was that, Papa? You know, the wind just knocking something outside. But they always like that. And I said, don't worry, everything is cool. You don't have to be afraid because, you know, they get afraid. And they never heard that noise. So I tell them, you know, don't worry. Those are the angels of God. They are patrolling around my house. And one probably tripped and fell and make a noise. But everything is cool. You're safe. Those are the angels of God with big swords. They just protecting us. Okay. You know, don't be afraid. And that's why, you know, I said, you know, you might go to another church, but you're not going to be as comfortable. Because it's not that you don't belong there. It's just that there's a difference. It's just like when they come to my house and you used to go to your uncle. I used to go to my grandmother's house. 2 weeks after that, I wanted to go home. A week. You know, during vacation time. It's not that I didn't love them less. I liked it. But some of the rules and some of the things I was not, you know, adjusted. My home was different, you know, in certain areas. My grandfather one time told me, I went to visit the first time to stay for summer vacation. And he said, I got rules in this house. I said, wow, my mom and dad never told me they got rules. They told me the expectations. You know, I know the expectations at home, how I'm supposed to do and not do. But, you know, when you go to somebody else's house, this is my expectation. And he says, I got rules. We eat at 12 o'clock. When I come from work and you hear that serena there, that whatever you call, that's 12 o'clock, you better be here before I get here because he walks. He was not too far. And I said, when you sit down in there, if you don't like what is served, you don't have to eat it. But we're not giving you nothing else. Oh, my, I'm just going. Are you sure you want to spend time here? He says to me, and your grandma's not going to fix you because I'm not going to allow it. Either you eat it or go hungry. Okay. Anything else I need to know? Yes. When you serve water, you do half of the glass. I don't want to waste any water. When you finish that half, you can put some more. Okay. My, I love them, but, you know, things change in somebody else's house. So one day, it comes lunchtime, and I'm running to the house. I'm sitting down. Here he comes. We're all sitting down. And I look down at there, and we're having cabbage soup. I never had cabbage soup. I hate the greens. I hate the peas. You know, when you're growing, you don't need vegetable. That's... I look at that, and so I sit there and quietly, and my grandfather, you just sit across me, and he knew I was upset, but that's the rules. He ate, I waited, he left, I got off, my grandmother took my plate, and I said, I hope you don't save it for tonight, please. I hope you made something else tonight. I went out, played, hungry. See, and that's what I'm saying. It is not that they're bad people, it's family. But sometimes, you know, you find different things that make you a little bit uncomfortable. But when you home here, you take your shoes off and you don't care, you know? Like, sometimes I see Brother Doug with his laces undone. I like to do that sometimes. You know, he feels comfortable, we lose shoes. And I'm the first one to tell him in 10 years, so I don't care. I just notice sometimes his laces are undone. And you feel comfortable that way? You're sure. As long as you don't start taking anything out off, it's fine. But see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not making a judgment that don't go. But never, never like home. Right, nothing else there will be as home. Right, you know me, and I know you. We can talk, and I don't have to start all over again and introduce myself. My name is Eli Ortiz, and what is your name, and where do you live, and how do you work, and if you work. Then you leave again a year later. How you doing? What is your name? This is my name. You have to start all over. Here, I don't have to start all over again. When I come every Sunday, I just pick it up from whatever I left the last week, and we move on in our relationship and fellowship. Anyway, enough of that. So, serving. See? So, she was going to be, I don't know if she was going to be welcome, but, you know, that's the way it is. You know, and when you go to all these churches, you know, people kind of look at you kind of funny, you know, sometimes because what is this guy came from? Who it is? Do you go? What church did you go? And they're all kind of questions. You know, you have to just give him a resume. Do it here. So when you go to another church. So she went gleaning. And that gleaning was a means of her livelihood. You know, and only lasted through the harvest time. So she started worrying, you know, of course, I would worry too. How am I going to make ends meet when there's snow, it's cold, it's snowing, and, you know. So she started worrying, and how am I going to help Naomi? So see, that's where we get into that, you know, confusion thing. Because we want to do something. We cannot trust God. God will provide. It doesn't matter what the situation, God will provide. Well, the only thing we have to do is be faithful and love God. Amen. So I think that, you know, it's okay that she was trying to find some other places, maybe to do something else. But God sent her there, and this is my pastor, and this is the place you glean, and God will take care of you. That's what Boaz says. Make sure you take care of her. See? God will take care of us. Ruth, we read in 9:19. Let's see what time is it. Oh, I got time. Said, the Lord grant you that you may find rest. Ain't that's what we want? We don't like these go-arounds or the merry-go-arounds, or we don't like those, you know, the big roller coasters. You know, I want rest. I want to be at peace. I want to be at rest in everything that I do. See? So Naomi was good in that part. Each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. See? See, this was the outcome of their anxieties. See? But anyway, Naomi still took Ruth. Ruth said, I'm going. I don't care what you said. I'm going. I make my decision. You know? I'm going to leave the world behind, and I'll follow you to the promised land. So, I bet you when she got there and started looking at this girl, and she come to church, and she said, don't look back, don't look back. Look at who came. Look at who's here. Naomi. After 10 years? Yes, but she's not alone. Don't look now. Don't look. I heard that this is what happened. Yeah. God said, you know, start running around. And that's what Naomi didn't want to. She didn't want to bring the girls because now she had to explain why. And they were not even Jewish, their mom. So even worse, you know. And the people start saying, well, she's not one of our kind, you know. And that's what happened in church. When people leave church, and this is, I am warning you, when people leave church, don't treat them that way when they come back. I know it's a fact. Sometimes we look at them, well, I never done that. I never went out. I cut my teeth on a Mrs. Pew. I never kissed another girl for my wife, and blah, blah, blah. And then we start looking down at those people. We do that. Well, look at my family, and I never left. And that's what the one son did when the prodigal son left, and the other one said, well, you never done nothing for me. What I have, I always did what you asked me to do. I always was here. I was doing what you asked me to do, and you never gave me anything. And then, you know, here comes somebody that has gone through a situation. And instead of embracing them and welcome them and restore them, then we start looking down at them. Well, you are not like me. I never done that. But that's what it's going to happen to Naomi. And that's what she was worried, to take the girls. Because people are going to say, okay, yeah, this is what happened. It's going to gossiping. And they're not going to make her welcome in the church. I'm just saying this because I want you to know that happens. There's some people that they are very legalistic. You know? And they look at other people and say, why can't you be like me? Well, I'm glad I'm not like you. But you know, that guy was praying in the altar and the other guy came and he was boo-hoo, boo-hoo, and he didn't chase. And the other guy looked at him and says, what's wrong with you? You know, the guy was broken and contrite and humbling himself, and you know, he and this other guy's looking at it and says, my, you know, you're ruining my service, boy, just like Cain says, you know. But God looked at that offering then. Why? Because this guy thought he was, hey, I'm a Jew, I never broke the law, I was the, and maybe so, but you didn't have no business looking down. When people come and they're broken down and they're crying, you know, do not stare, please. You know, try, pray for them, help them. And I'm not talking about new people, even our own people that leave and come back and they get in trouble. If we don't get them to Christ, as soon as they come in, we lose them. If we don't get them to the Holy Ghost, to the promised land, as soon as they come in, you will not have a second chance about it. Because they're already being damaged. They already are broken. And if we don't get in there and try to fix them and restore them so they can receive the Holy Ghost and then move forward, you lose them. We've seen that. Boys came over here from the other tabernacle. Where are they? You know, Tony and some other ones. Where are they? We didn't get them fast enough to, but we criticized a lot. Instead of trying to make them welcome, you know, sorry for what you went through. Yes, you made bad choices, but we want to help you. You know, the only reason people come to church is because they want to see the love that God, you know, they read the Bible. They want to see that kind of a God in you, They don't want to see another person trying to, you know, look at them like up and down, like, whoa, where you been, jelly bean, you know. No, we need to try to restore people. That is our business. Let God, you know, do that in your life. But the man says, let's see, rest. See, that's what Naomi wanted. She wishes rest because she needed rest. She needed rest. She needed to move forward. She needed to leave things behind and move forward and have rest and peace. You see? Anyway, and I think rest is, I got here, is one of the greatest blessings God has promised to Israel. The promised land is supposed to be a place of what? Rest. Now, this is the question I'm asking. The promised land is the Holy Spirit. Why some people are not at rest? God promised a rest. They didn't enter in the rest because they were kind of hard-headed. You know, they wanted to do whatever they want to. Some wanted to go back to, you know, after they left, now they want to go back to the onions and the garlics and the good places that they visit. I mean, the fun, the entertainment, you know. This is boring in the desert. You know, Tucson is desert. It is hot. It is miserable. There's no water. There's no beach. I cannot swim. I mean, so I like to go back to those old good days. Well, there it goes. You know, that's what happened to what? To Lot's wife. Said, don't look back. Once you make a decision to not look back, what happened to her? Well, we know what happened to her. So Naomi wanted rest. She needed rest. And that was a promise of God in that land that they will rest. So I always wondered, said, is something wrong with me? What? This person says he had the Holy Ghost. And I'm not trying to compare. You know, I'm just trying to. There's something wrong with me because I'm acting that way. I'm supposed to be at rest in every situation. Oh, no, I get excited once in a while, you know, and when I get it. But I, you know, I kind of, you know, I start thinking about God and the promises, and I try to quiet myself down, keep myself peaceful, and rest in His promises. You know, I'm not going to say that I'm perfect. I do the same thing. But the thing is, that is our promise, that if we have the Holy Ghost, we're supposed to be at rest. But we come to churches and it's a lot of unrest. You know why? Because it has to happen. There is a changing. And this section in the middle is a very, it's unrest. It's not stable. But you know what? We make it. Because we know who we have believed. And I know, I don't say matter what happened, the tempest, you know, the disciples was out there in that boat and it come the tempest and Jesus was sleeping in. He didn't move a finger. I mean, that boat was rocking and the wave were coming over and like to tip him and rocking everywhere. And they're screaming, ah, like a bunch of girls. Ah, we are going to die. God, if you don't help me, I'm out of here. I'm done. And somebody wake. I mean, Jesus, he didn't care. You know why? Because he was resting. He told the disciple, let's get to the other side. You know what that means? His word says, I'm going to the other side. Doesn't matter what. Nothing is going to stop this. He had a promise. He knew what the Lord has called him to do. So he was, you know, trusting in God. His ministry was not over. No time to die yet. He hasn't even died. Satan tried to destroy that and cut that short. But no, the disciple crying, go and wake him up, wake him up, wake him up. We're dying. And they did. And he said, you know, of little faith. So, you know, what can you believe? Then Peter, you know, Peter's always the intrepid one, the one that the lead, you know, he's the leader of the pack. So one day he sees Jesus coming, walking in the water, and he says, I can do that. I want to do that. Can you bid me to come? Sure. And he did. And he walked. But once he saw the unrest, and the wave, and he saw, you know, life throw you things here and throw you things here. And when he started putting his focus on those things, what happened? And then, hell, I need some help. And that's what we have to do sometimes when we're in that unrest. I need some help. You know? But he started. It didn't last too long. We didn't know how long he walked, but he started going down. Why? His focus had changed. You know, we need to focus in Christ. When we come to church, forget about everything else. The last time Brother David was here, Goodman, he says that this lady complained because it was too much going on in church and she could not focus and she could not. And the pastor said, just take this glass of water and go around, you know. And she did, and she didn't. And she just making sure the water won't fall. And then the pastor said, after she finished, he says, hey, did you notice anything? No, how can? I was watching this thing, make sure it don't spill. Okay, well, that's your problem. Keep your focus. You know, kind of block everything else. Come to church, and we come to worship God. Let things fly, whatever they want to fly. Don't worry yourself about that. We need to be at rest. And that is my promise. If I'm in the Holy Ghost, I have entered into my rest. What do I have to worry about? Brother Branham says here, and I mean, Exodus 33:14, he says, and he said, this is God says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Yeah. See? And that's what I want. In the midst of the storm and the midst of all the problem, chaos, I want to be able to have rest. Because I know who have believed and is, and I've entrusted to him, and he will be faithful enough to carry me through. He says in Hebrews 3:7-8, therefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you hear his voice, hearken not to your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. See, that's why they never enter into their rest. Why? Because they rebel against the word of God. So can you imagine all 2 million people walking into the desert and only everybody that was below 20 made it? And everybody else what? Die. You know, I don't want to come here so I can get to the end and drown and die. No, because that's what I told you about water and the sea and the wave, you know. There's two ways out. Either you be still and wait for God, or you try to save yourself and you will drown. See, you need to be still and let God do what he's going to do. Oh, I know. Things are flying all over you and you're turning upside down and you don't know where you're going. And you don't know how this is going to end, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that he knows. That he knows. Brother Brown says, Gabriel instructions to Daniel says, waiting for that hour. Now, in the fifth chapter and the fifth verse, we find our previous lesson that we talk of that kingdom redeeming which we found out it was Christ, the type. Type it up with Ruth. Ruth deciding, Ruth serving, Ruth resting, deciding. Justification, serving. So what part of serving we don't understand? After you are saved and you are so grateful, you were done for destruction, you're a slave. God took you from one kingdom of Satan and transferred you to the kingdom of his kingdom, his glorious kingdom. Now it's peace. Now it's everything that you desire. So we want to serve him. You know that serving is what it comes after justification, because sanctification is to clean you up, to push you to what? Service. So that's why he says serving, making herself ready. See, sanctification, resting, was with the Holy Spirit until the wedding supper came. How beautiful. The church come through John Wesley's justification and Martin Luther's justification, and through John Wesley's sanctification, through the Pentecostal, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now is resting, waiting for the coming of the Lord perfectly. Amen. So it doesn't matter what happens, you're supposed to be resting. Amen. Resting, making yourself ready to do what? For the coming of the Lord. Amen. So don't let anything unrest you. And if something comes, deal with it. See? Because you will not be tempted beyond, you know, a point that is going to break you. You know? Oh, I'm sorry, he made me do it. No, he won't. He cannot make it that far. God knows. And if he goes that far, the Bible says, and he will make a way for you. So there's always a way. Why? Because we are waiting. You know, the time for fussing and griping and complaining and murmuring is over. As soon as we go through this transition and we move into another place, that is left behind. The only thing that is left is to get ready for his soon coming. And I don't want nothing to distract me. And that's all is happening, distraction. Why Satan don't want you to focus yourself when you're supposed to? So he says, baptism of the now resting, waiting for the coming of her Lord perfectly. See, and that's what Ruth needed, and that's what you and me need. We need security. You know, and the only place I'm going to find protection and security and resting, it is in him. That's why Ruth wanted to marry him. Why? That was the sure thing for her. She didn't have to worry about anything else. know, once she married, you know, the wedding supper is at there, but the marriage is right here. And if I already married to my husband, what do I have to worry about? Because that's what I wanted to marry him. That's what I wanted, because I want to stop all this worrying. I don't want to worry about me. I don't want to worry about what I'm going to eat tomorrow, what I'm going to put on, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. You know, just like the lilies. You know, Solomon didn't dress like those lilies and those, because God dressed him. God feed him. You know, God watches over his creation. And God watches over you and me. So that is the kind of husband that I want. One that will take care of me. That I don't have to worry about anything. And if I come to church and things are flying all over the place, I don't care. Because I know my husband loves me. And he will take care of me. And he will see me through. I can be peaceful. You know, I can rest. I can rest on his promises. Conclusion. I got about 1 minute. Anyway. So we see Ruth and Orpha, and we see Naomi. Now, Ruth was a possessor. She had something. She had a faith. She possessed a faith that she can move mountains. See? Now, the other one, Orpha, had she professed to be a Christian, but when things went wrong, then she's gone. See? That's what is so important, that the only place that we can find rest is to have the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people, you know, and I said this, you know, after 30 years, they figured out this is not for me. Hey, what is your Holy Ghost? After 30 years, now suddenly you woke up. I don't think you woke up. I think you just died because you were sleeping. Now you're not. How can you figure that after 30 years, this is not for me? Something was missing to begin with. Because if you enter into the promised land, you enter into the rest, you know, what it is to worry about? Oh, Lord, I made a mistake. I don't think I wanted to marry you. You know, you down in the altar and you just run away from that. He said, no, I don't want him. Hey, what's wrong with that picture? See? So, that's what Orpha did. She just, when it came to that climatic point, you know, to make a decision, she ran, you know, hey, she ran. In the midst of changing, it is not easy to say just what is ending. It is hard to sometimes. It's kind of gray what is ending and what else may emerge to take its place. See? That's why we have to depend on God. How far have things actually changed? And what is the real result of the change in our life? See? We don't know that. The task is to make the transition and depend on God for everything that we have need of. That's all. He says, like I told you this morning, when you ride the wave, you don't fight it. In the midst of the troubles, in the middle of the storm, I know it's not easy to say just what is up and down, but if you do not panic, you may emerge to ride the wave towards a new beginning or die trying. So don't try. You don't have to try. All you have to do is just let God take your hands and carry you all the way through. But those are decisions we're going to have to make. Now, Brother Brown says sometimes a service needs to get out of order long enough to so people to, you know, get saved. Sometimes we get into our own little comfort zone. And God has to come and shake, because sometimes in that comfort zone, we are so warm and everything is so nice that, you know, we miss God. We think we got it all together, you know. And God has to do something. And say, God comes and takes things out of order, shake things out, so you can get out of that box or that comfort zone, so God can speak to you at least for a minute for some reason. So I said this, you have to be loved enough so you can find yourself. See? Because if you don't claim your loss, you never find yourself. If you are not wrong, but you never do anything. If you come to church and everything is peachy, well, what is it for me to do? You know, I'm cool. What about you? You having a problem? I don't know what your problem is, but I don't have any. Everything is okay. But see, sometimes God has to bring these things So you can get lost a little bit into the shuffle, into the things, and you get all bogged down and upset, just to wake you up long enough so he can speak to you. We get in our little comfort zones sometimes. See? Separation from the old, transition to the new, and then incorporation. See? Or do it again. This is the alternative. Or do it again the same old way and do not change nothing. Live up to your old image and keep bringing the old you, you know, to church. And you know what happened to that? You know, do the same thing, the same way, all the time, and expect changes. So bring your, if you, that's the alternative, bring yourself to church, be comfortable, and have need of nothing. I have everything. I don't need anything. I'm cool. I'm going to make it. You know what? If that is our attitude, then, you know, you're living in denial. That everything is okay. I don't want no trouble when I cross the sea. You know, God, show me what my fault. Show me, examine my, I want to know now. I don't want to know when I get there. Amen. Amen. So, either we take the right road, you know, or we take the narrow road, or we take the wide road. Now, that narrow road is not an easy journey. But I'm sure you're one thing. We will make it. Why? Because he's in outside the captain. He's leading. He already went through it. All we have to do is just ask confidence. Have confidence in yourself, in God, in your brother, in your ministry. Make sure everything is just right. I'm not saying everybody's going to be right, but God is always right. If something is not right, pray about it. Don't gossip. Pray about it. See what God tell you what to do. So you can help somebody else. Amen. You stand up. It's 8 o'clock. 5 minutes after, I'm done. Amen. Transitions. Today has been a beautiful day. We had rain. We had sun. And I think God has been good to us. Sometimes God puts some subjects in our hearts, and I think God knows what he's doing. I'm trusting God. Because if I try to plan this, I never will be able to do what I do. I don't who I am, anyway. But I'm glad that God cares for me, cares for you, and to keep you in the right path and give you, you know, what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. It's not what you want, but he will give you what you need. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come back again tonight and in the cool of the evening, Lord, and have fellowship with you around the word. Father, we thank you for your word. It's our protection. Your word is our life, Father. Thus words, the Bible said, the life. Father, we want to take them into our bosom. We want to digest them. It might be bitter to our stomach. But after all, Lord, when that word goes in and take care of those things that are not pleasing to you, Father, we're going to emerge as a new person, as a better person with more character that will be pleasing to you. And that's what we want. We want your character, Father. Thank you for your plan of salvation, your plan of redemption. Thank you, Lord, for your plan for my life. Thank you, Lord, because you saw me one day and you saved me and you cleaned me and you filled me with your spirit, Father. And now we are in a way, Father, in our way to live with you forever and ever. Father, help me to be able to yield to you in the time of troubles, Father. I don't want to depend on me. I don't want to depend on my reasoning and my logic. Father, I want to depend on you, Father, because you know you have the words of life, Father. For beside you, there is no life. You are life. And that's what we want, Father. We want life. We have passed from death to life, Father, and we thank you. You are so good to us. Thank you, Father, for these special moments that we can stand here and do the service that you have already before the foundation of the world. You have already purposed this. Father, and thank you for giving us what we had need of. Thank you, Father. You know what we had. Maybe the subject was not too thrilling to somebody, or somebody could have done better. It doesn't matter. We glean tonight. You drop some things here and there so we can glean, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Help us to continue this journey, Father. As we understand the process of transition, the changing in our life, that we can settle down and make the right decision to believe you, Father. Like brother was preaching on Wednesday, brother Andy, he says, if I can just summarize his sermon, we can, we will, and we do it because we can believe. And we can. Why? Because if we have a word that is alive and well, and we will because that is God's desire for my life, to prosper as my soul will prosper. And he can do it because he has the power to do it. He cannot lie to me. He has the character, Brother Andy was saying, to do these things. And I trust God. He can because he has the power. He has the ability. And he will because he has the desire for me. And he will do it because he has the character. He will not lie. I sure like that sermon. So, I know tonight where I'm standing. Maybe I look kind of odd, but that's all right. I know where I'm standing. And if I look a little crazy, I know. Leave me alone. I'm fine. I just want to be pleasing to him tonight. And I want to serve in any way I can. And then continue trying to be ready, putting that dress for the soon coming. Father, we ask you now as we going back home and back to our places again, Father, that you take us safe and sound, Father. Keep us to you during the week, Father. Guide us, lead us in the right things, the right ways, do the right things. Help us to be an open Bible. We are Christians, Father. We're supposed to be an open Bible so somebody else can read our life. And they look at us and they say, what do you act that way? What do you do that? What do you think that way? Why? Bible times are here again. And I am the Bible. God is writing that in me. An epistle. That is open for every man to read. My life should testify that there is a God. And it's a God that is alive and is well. We don't have to preach a sermon. Your life preaches a sermon louder than your mouth will. Lord, help us to continue this journey. I know you're going to help us. You call us. And you saw us, foresaw us before the foundation of the world. You call, you predestined us so we can be glorified. So how can you miss? How can we miss? It's already done. Just help us yield to you, Lord. Our minds, our body, our soul, our complete being, our whole being. Help us to yield ourselves to you, to your desire, to your will, to your word. Thank you, Lord, for these people. Thank you for this congregation, Father. Thank you, Lord, because you had put us here together. And I know you're going to help us to finish this race. Because you said so. And that's good enough for me. That settles it. And we love you again, Lord. We cannot even tell you enough. And we thank you. Thank you for this precious and happy and glad Sunday. Now go with us the rest of the week until we meet again. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. What do you want to sing? I don't want to sing. My throat is going.
My heart always be. Make me a servant. Make me a servant. Make me a servant today. Make me a servant.